Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to episode number 20 of the Everything Coworking Podcast. This week, my guest is Asan Merjan, founder of SphereMail and SpherePad. He started both about the same time. As he shares during the interview, he started SpherePad, a co-working space, in 2008 in San Francisco's North Beach neighborhood. And at the same time, friends and family warned him of a possible low chance of success. The economy was not great, and the location was still a little bit up and coming. So to hedge his bet, he started SphereMail, a virtual mail management platform, to diversify his revenue streams. It turns out that both ventures were successful. SphereMail is now being used by shared workspaces across the country and around the world. Hassan was an entrepreneur from an early age, experimenting with many different businesses, including chicken farming. These days, he's going all in on co-working as both a space owner and operator and as a service provider to co-working spaces. He's also leading the charge to purchase buildings in which he operates his co-working spaces, and he recently bought two buildings in the fast-growing San Francisco suburb of Santa Rosa. In his interview, he shares his journey as well as his insights into how to become successful at building a virtual mail business, and he offers his time to anyone that wants to get into the real estate ownership side of co-working. So before I jump into the interview, I have to note that whenever I mention a resource from this episode that will be included in the show notes, I kept referring to episode number 19. However, this is actually episode number 20. So please disregard all of those 19 references and go to www.everythingcoworking.com/20 for the show notes. Now enjoy the episode. All right, Hassan, so great to talk to you today. Thank you for joining me. And you are in Santa Rosa today with your new spaces. How are things going out there?
Very good. And thanks for having me.
So I'm excited to talk to you today. So I've known you, I think, I was trying to remember how we even met, if you reached out. But when I opened Enterspace Chicago, which is about 4 years ago, we started SphereMail pretty shortly after that. So I've known you for a while. And we got to catch up at Juicy this past May, the Global Coworking Unconference Conference. And then I did a recent episode on virtual mail, episode number 17, if you want to check that out. Gives kind of an overview of how virtual mail works. And I thought a lot about Hassan, and I thought, you know, I should have him on the show because he's really interesting. He started SphereMail, and he also operates spaces. So he's a service provider in the space, but also an operator. So a really interesting perspective. So I'm looking forward to our chat today.
Likewise. Thank you.
So tell us, so give, I remember chatting with you over a drink, of course, at Juicy. And you have a really interesting background. So can you share with us kind of, you know, brief background and how you got into co-working in SpherePad and SphereMail?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my background goes back since my childhood. I guess I learned everything from my father since I was probably 5 or 6, 7 years old. You know, he's a businessman, and I've always kind of been around what he did and explored that. Starting out, I did start my first job was actually starting my own business with the help of my father. It was a small store, just similar to a mailbox, et cetera. And then after that, it's funny that it's not even related to, the store. I opened, a chicken farm and which is quite interesting. I ran that for about a year, but continued the other business going. So from then on, I really found a real passion about starting your own business and how it feels running your own business. How I got to SphereMail and SpherePad, you know, fast forward, I got involved in technology before this whole co-working. So I worked for different technology companies in Canada, in Southern California and Northern California. From there, worked a while in the corporate world and decided, no, I've always had this passion to to start my own business. So I did, looked an article in the paper, and I saw this idea of, you know, the co-working in the community. I thought that that would be a great idea. At the time I was living in Los Angeles, decided to move to Northern California and start fresh there. Thought the market, it was just turning, technology was just, you know, back coming up from this recession back in 2010. That's when the SphereBot started in January of 2011. The thing with that is I started in an area where also it was a risky area in North Beach, which people were at the time saying, this is too risky. I don't know if this is going to work. I bet on that. And I thought 75-80% they were correct. And yes, this thing is not, doesn't look like it's going to work. So that's when SphereMail got started. I thought, how can I generate revenue to sustain and stay in business, and faster way to bring other revenue, stream of revenue before I get the space going? So SphereMail, I had this company before SphereMail, the technology company I started, which failed, but I still had the source code. So what I did, I just tweaked the source code and created SphereMail, and from then took off at our location. So decided, well, if it's working with us, then it's definitely going to work with other locations. Why don't we just reach out to other spaces? Inner Space was one of them, to see if this idea, would they want to, you know, get into it. And Inner Space, Next Space, and all those spaces decided, oh, yeah, you know, this is kind of a cool idea. And you're not really limited by, and I've heard, listened to your podcast in the past, where you're not limited by the number of desks that you have. It's absolutely infinite. You can have an infinite number of mailboxes at your space. So that's kind of a side of generating revenue, and it's a great way to pull your business and to get it going while you're trying to fill the space. It's a faster way, and it's also at the same time, it really, when people use that address, you're really helping the community by somebody wants to start a business, doesn't want to spend $400 or $500 for a desk. They just want to spend maybe $50 or $60 a month, and they could use the space for a day or two a month. And that's a great way to introduce them to co-working.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to interject real quick there, and I mentioned this in the episode on virtual mail, so I won't spend too much time on it, but that's exactly, I think there's a little bit of a funny perception about virtual mail members in the co-working community not being sort of quote-unquote real members. Then we decided to give it a try, and we've had a really positive experience, and we've converted members. We have them come in and use meeting room space. We have them come to events. Not all, of course, but I think to your point, you're filling a need for them, and they hope to grow, you know, along with you, and it can work really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, the real benefits to that, it's, as I mentioned, there is infinite growth. Two people are more comfortable to spending $50 a month than committing to $500 to begin with. And if their business works and takes off, then they would convert. And the member conversion, this is what we focus on. Let's focus on that. We as SphereMail, when we say acquire that customer, that member, and then it'll come through your space and using that mailing address, if they do convert, SphereMail would say, here's the member, take them. We don't charge you anything extra for that. You can convert that member. And the cool thing is that member himself decides to move to another location. For example, you have two spaces, one in California, one in Chicago. They move to Chicago. We do that seamlessly and convert them and let them move their mailbox over there to Chicago. Yeah.
Yep. No, perfect. So it's interesting you started SphereMail as a sort of risk management tool against SpherePad. One other quick interesting note I have to make about your chickens is that we had one other guest, Diana Rothschild, was episode number 7, and she is the current CEO of NextSpace, and she has an urban chicken farm in her backyard. So kind of a funny little chicken connection there.
That's great.
Okay, so you have two locations in San Francisco, and then you recently branched out into suburban locations.
Right. Two locations, and they're a block away from each other in North Beach. And then decided, okay, what is the other way that we can expand? We know the market in San Francisco is absolutely extremely expensive and it's high risk. Why I say high risk? Yes, the growth is fast. There is a high demand and you got to be really careful and keep an eye on this trend, uptrend. There is always going to be some kind of a correction. We don't know when. Now, going to suburban areas, and the question may come in mind, okay, well, a suburban area, how is that going to work? The way I see this is that when I entered North Beach Market, the market was so soft in that area, and Soma, which is south of Market, was growing really, really fast. And it's all about patience and just take your time and just keep going at it. Now, I wouldn't look at the size of the suburban area itself, but I would really focus on the growth rate of that area. So if you look at the growth and you enter the market early on, then when people move from one hot area, which is became so expensive, and then again with technology, now the way the work is conducted is in different. You don't have to be in the office all the time. You can be anywhere, which is actually a great opportunity for us to enter that market. So I entered the market of Santa Rosa. You know, the population wise, they're around I don't know, close to what? 171,000. Now, I wasn't focused on really what's the population there, but I'm focusing what is it going to be like in the next 5 years. I can't see. I don't have a crystal ball, but I'll tell you from experience is that, okay, the market is trending up. Real estate is trending up. The market in these areas is still soft. Why don't I just enter the market early on and then do the best I can to make it happen? And then people ask me, so, you're entering the market in two locations at one time. You even don't know if the first one is going to work. So the way I did that, and I don't want to dive too deep into this, there are so many different programs. Instead of you going in and leasing a space, if you already own a location somewhere, a co-working space, and you want to enter another market which is softer and smaller commercial real estate, I would just go in and acquire and actually buy a building or buy a piece of land or whatnot, because there are so many government programs that can help you do that. One of them is SBA. SBA is a great way you can grow your business, and it really does work. And it's not only helps you with acquiring the building, but they give you even finances to actually build a new construction. So you can buy a land and build it into a co-working space or do tenant improvements. And you can go back and appraise that, and they would appraise it and they give you loans. So you can get a, you know, 120% loan to value for you to actually make it work. So they really work with you. And I would really encourage everyone that if they want to get into it, they should really look into this. And I'm happy to kind of answer any questions regarding this after, if anyone wants to reach out. Absolutely. What I did, I've acquired two buildings and a piece of land. And the first building, the way we structured it is, okay, here is a building. The SBA requirements, they require, okay, if you want to buy a building, you have to occupy 51% of the actual building. I said, oh, this is a perfect deal. There are already tenants in there. I'm not going to let them go. I'm going to just let the one that is occupying the 51% of the area or take some more of the neighboring tenants and make it 51 and keep those tenants. This way you're reducing your risk. And it works perfectly for us. Now, now our space is basically free almost because all the tenants are paying for everything.
So the risk there, though, is if you go into a market that isn't proven, you now run a business and own an asset there.
Yes, it's not really proven. We don't know. I will tell you, I don't know if Santa Rosa is, but from my research, I will tell you the research that I've done is I'm looking at growth. I'm looking at technology and how it's evolving. I'm looking about how people and the behavior of professionals and how they're conducting their work. Are there more people moving over to the suburban areas. Yes. Why? It's because of, you know, we know San Francisco got really expensive, but I know so many major cities are in this situation. So now you will see a growth in the suburban areas. Definitely. And I've had the situation where someone moved and they are a new member with us. They moved from San Francisco, came here just because they told us it's too expensive. We can't afford it. And then again, once they move with a family, I mean, how long does it take for them to move out of the city, out of that area? It's going to take a while. So you're really established. And then you have the real estate, which is appreciating in value. And we know the valuation of real estate. I'm not getting into that too deeply, but you know, your building will get valuated based on the income that it's bringing plus the appraisal and the comps.
Yeah. So it's a risk, but there's a lot more upside than leasing. And you took a risk in renting in 2010, but it's another example of, you know, the co-working model is so much based on your rental rates, your ability to succeed. And I think entering the co-working space in San Francisco now is almost impossible. You know, 2010 was a big risk, but a big opportunity. And it seems like that's a little bit what you're banking on in Santa Rosa. There's still certainly some risk because it's not proven, but there's a lot of upside if it takes off. And we have a lot of reason to believe that there are a lot of market indicators headed that way.
That is correct. However, you have to also make sure that you do not over leverage and always have some kind of a backup plan. What if it doesn't work? Okay. For me, this at 838 4th Street, we're in Santa Rosa, almost a half a block. It's in downtown. If it doesn't work, the space is, we're having the space for free and the whole building paying for itself. So there is kind of a backup plan for us. You know, it's always going to work, hopefully.
Okay, so that's how. So yeah, you have some criteria. So you would not say that all suburban locations are necessarily winners for co-working spaces.
No, I wouldn't say all of them. I would look at the growth rate, and there is a thing about in general. And I've been in this, you know, the whole entrepreneurship and running businesses, many businesses. The way I do things, and a lot of people may not agree with me, is I don't really do a whole lot of planning, meaning that I don't write business plans. I don't do any of that. I just look at the numbers really in one piece of paper, run the numbers. The numbers make sense. I just enter that market. And then with your passion and patience and perseverance will work. It will work.
Yeah. But I think having some criteria about growth rates is important because I think we see some frustration from folks trying this model in suburban areas that aren't really ready for it yet. So the economy's still soft and there's not the growth and it's hard to support a space if it's a for-profit space looking to actually run a business. It can be hard to be successful in some suburban locations.
Absolutely. It is hard and it'll take time. And we know the margins with co-working spaces are not high. There are a lot of overhead that comes with it. And that's where we learned that sphere mail really would add a great value and revenue extra than just members, physical members.
Okay, I'm going to include your contact information in the show notes so that folks can reach out to you if they have more questions, because I think there are a lot of people interested in the concept of buying. And you will be episode number 19. So show notes will be at everythingcoworking.com/19 if you want to find Hassan's contact info. So let's switch over to talking about Sphere Mail. So you started a few years ago, partly as a risk management opportunity, and then saw co-working spaces are interested in this. Tell us kind of what has that looked like for Sphere Mail's expansion? You know, what kind of geographic coverage do you have? And then kind of talk us through the benefits to a co-working space of doing virtual mail.
I think I mentioned early on about the benefits as far as the infinite growth and the member conversion and also helping small businesses and startups and even freelancers to get that a professional mailing address for them to run their business and utilize your space in the meeting room for a day or two a month. That's a great opportunity. As far as Sphere Mail itself, why I decided to work with other spaces. I think it's great because we run into this situation where we had a hard time growing our first location, and it worked for us. So we decided let's scale this and open it up to other locations. They would really find a real value, and we're all in it together and support each other. This is what this whole co-working is all about. I'm sorry, what was the other question?
What's your geographic coverage with Sphere Mail?
We are actually in 29 states and 4 countries. So we expanded to the UK, France, and Australia, and just entering Canada. There are a few changes that we're doing with Canada. But there are users that are using the space over in Europe and Australia. Across the U.S., like I said, we are in 29. We're looking to grow even further. We have one state, which is the heaviest state that we're in. It's California, just as the demand is high.
Yep, that makes sense. So give us a sense of the upside of virtual mail accounts for a co-working space. Don't have to name names or anything, but either monthly revenue or number of accounts that some of your top spaces have.
Oh, yes. I mean, we have one of our top spaces. They have over 300 subscribers. That's a high number. How can you fit 300 members in a space unless you have, I don't know, a 20,000 square feet of space to fit that, and with the overhead. So the further you bring in member, you need more space. With mail, all you need is actually those little mailboxes, or how you want to fit them in a small room with all those are set up, and you can fit 300 boxes in there, not a problem, small ones. So the growth is infinite. The subscription model, it really adds a lot of value to your business when you have this subscription-based model business, absolutely. Even down the road, if you decide you want to exit, this is really a factor that helps you and adds value to your company.
Yeah, and some quick math. So you can correct me. I'm guessing an average mailbox rate per month is about $50.
Yeah. So you do the $50 times 300, we're talking what?
15,000, yeah, a month, yeah, on top of your actual member revenue.
Absolutely, yeah. Now the other side of it is people say, well, okay, how is this platform works? It's very simple. It really manages the day-to-day mail operation. People can get their mail wherever they are. You would need only one person to manage this mail on daily basis. For every 100 users, it takes the mail administrator to administer this mail. It's about, for every 100, it takes about an hour and 15 minutes a day. So you're talking 3 hours a day with 300 users is really worth it.
Yep, that's great data, because people will ask us, or sometimes I'll try to, you know, guess, and I think that's about right. And makes sense. And I think when you haven't done a virtual mail program before, you may have a sense that it'll take up your entire staff's time. And co-working spaces are very focused on community building and worry that it'll take time away from the community manager or operations manager to manage mail. But it's really for the upside. I mean, with that kind of upside, you could hire somebody just to do the mail.
Yeah, and not only this, really what you're doing is imagine you have 300 members. By the way, not all the 300 that are actually going to have mail. Some of them just want the address. They don't want anything else. They just want that address to put it on their business card. The others, yes, some do have a lot of mail. So it kind of they balance each other. Now, the nice thing about this is when someone comes in and pick up their mail once a week or once every 3-4 days, and they see all these people in there and they decide, oh, you know what? I want to join now. I want to cancel my mail and join you. Here you go. Take that customer. So you've had one conversion. Now, the other way of doing it is you have that customer saying, you know, I've used this space, but now I'm moving to Europe or I'm moving to Australia, but I just want to use the mailing address instead. They will stay with you as a member, but not a physical member. So this way you would not lose that connection with that member. So building a community, and I know this whole concept around virtual mail, virtual office, there is a kind of a what's the word, stigma around it. I have no idea what it is, but it's up to you really as a space. How you want to handle this? How do you want to treat it?
Yep. And I think a lot of the experience that you get out of it depends on how you treat it. So we treat ours as members, not full-time members. They don't get emails with, you know, door codes and things like that in it, but they're invited to events and we want them to feel a part of the community. And because of the way we treat them, that's how they feel. And so they, you know, act accordingly. So, and, you know, there may not always be the experience, but it's been positive.
Yeah. And then there are customers are from different cities and states, wants to have a San Francisco address. One, two, if they travel over here, want to meet with a client, then they would still utilize your space. The other thing is with us, our male members now, they not only use, we tell them that once you become a male member, you can utilize any of our spaces anywhere. We don't even charge them kind of extra on that. So if they get 2 days a month, whatever location they want to use, that's fine.
So for the spaces that are doing the type of volume that looks like 300 accounts a month, what are some tips that you would give, or what are some factors that contribute to their success?
Yeah, as how they treat that as a mailbox. Some of them call them mobile members rather than virtual mail or virtual office. That kind of gives it a sexy word for it, you know, a mobile member, basic mobile member, or a plus mobile member. He's not really a full-time member. He's mobile, yes. The way you market it, the way you present the culture that you have at your space, that's a huge factor. Of course, that's aside from the marketing that the space does, and then we do from our end.
Is there marketing that some of these spaces are doing themselves? Are they taking out their own Google AdWords or that kind of?
Some are doing, and some are just all organic. I mean, I know spaces, I don't see any paid advertising with them. They reached a point where they don't need to do paid advertising, but more just organic word of mouth. And when you get to that number, Let's say not 300, just 100. When you get to the 100, you know, this mailing list, which you have access to through our platform, all these members, you can put them in the newsletters. You can add them to your mail marketing, into your blog, into your events. So we invite all those when we have an event. We just send an invite not only to the physical members, but to those 100 members that are mail members.
Yep. It builds the network that you're creating.
Absolutely.
Yep. We've done a little bit of SEO work on virtual mail. So we'll do blog posts and that kind of thing. And it's been, yeah, a little bit of a slow build for us. So we're not at 300, but we're definitely seeing some growth, and we're doing a website update. And your suggestion about renaming it, I made a quick note there, cause I think that's a great idea, but we're also going to make it a lot more prominent.
Yes, exactly. And then the other thing I really want to point out, we know that it's just how much value that you're bringing to those mail members, and price point. Price points are really very, very important. You know, imagine, do you want to charge $150 and get only 10 members, or do you want to charge $50 and get 300? That's the beauty of subscription. I would rather do the 50 and 300 because I always think wholesale rather than retail. Wholesale is way better. The margins are less, but I will tell you, this is the only way for you to grow your business. On the other side that we have with Sphere Mail is we have Sphere Phone. Sphere Phone is the same way. People can buy phone numbers through when they're mail subscribers. They can get a phone number and we'll just wholesale it to the space and they can retail it for whatever price they'd like.
Yep, we have a few phone members as well. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, great insight. I think this is really helpful and augments the sharing that I did on episode 17 about how it actually works, kind of sharing a little bit of the upside and some of the work you can do to get up to that 300 number. So since you're an operator and a service provider, I think you're clearly sort of all in on co-working. What do you think it will look like in the next 5 years?
That's a really good question.
I know you said you didn't have a crystal ball, and I'm asking you to pull it out. But
yeah, here is my prediction. I think there will be a lot of spaces will be starting out, more and more spaces. We're going to see more, and not because I'm doing this, but I know people will start doing some suburban areas. People will still focus in major cities like San Francisco, Chicago, you know, New York. But the problem with that, it's so expensive that it would be very hard for you to make money. Two, I will see a lot of consolidations and mergers. And I think I did mention just to this interview that we're looking to, see who we can partner with or even buy some of that are already running spaces. So consolidations and mergers definitely will happen. The market will end up saturating in certain areas, and you will see some of them either they try to get out or merge or... one way or another. Now, the 5-year term, I think, is still a little too soon. I think it's be a little bit longer than that. The other thing I will see is corporations, big corporations, will begin to dismantle their real estate. And I know some of them, they are actually sitting on about 1 million square foot of space. Now, there is some talk about, the whole commercial real estate will die. I don't think so. People will still need to get out of their house to work somewhere. So this is, no, commercial will stay. Office buildings will be around, but will be evolved. So corporations, instead of them actually managing that real estate and leasing buildings, either they go and own it, which is also expensive. The cheaper way for corporations to do it is just utilize co-working, and it will happen.
I agree with the crystal ball prediction there. I think those factors will definitely be in play. So it'll be interesting to see how the corporate co-worker also starts to fit into the landscape. Well, thank you so much for your time today and your insight. I think it was really interesting to hear your thoughts about your experience with suburban co-working and share a little bit more about how virtual mail can work and some upside that could be there for spaces. So thanks for sharing all of that and for joining us today. And I will just once again, to your point about if anybody's interested in talking to Hassan about purchasing real estate and making the model work that way, or if they're running a co-working space and interested in joining a team or being part of something bigger, Hassan's looking for spaces in that situation. So I will include all of his contact information in the show notes, which will be at everythingcoworking.com/19.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Have a good rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.